their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, it's always our delight to have you jump on board as we face the issues each and every day. We always look forward to your dialogue and discussion, your questions, your comments in relationship to our discussion and as we face the issues each and every day. We'll be talking about, should Christians be involved in government? Should Christians be involved in government? I realize that's a controversial subject that many will immediately say, no, absolutely. Many will say, well, don't you realize there's a separation of church and state? Many will have all kinds of answers. But ladies and gentlemen, in Psalms 11:3, the Bible is very, very clear. If the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? And we're watching the evisceration. We're watching the annihilation, the absolute destruction of our moral, ethical foundations in America. It should cause every Christian, every conservative, every patriot to be concerned about where we're going and what we're going to do in relationship to that. Our nation today, let's face it, let me make a dogmatic statement. Our nation today is in trouble. We're witnessing the persecution, the prosecution, and the attacks on Christians and conservatives and patriots as never before in our nation's history. Let me just give you a little scenario. Ladies and gentlemen, for us to think about by way of our monologue and introduction of where we're going. There was a day, there was a time when in the rotunda of the U.S. Capitol, our political leadership in D.C. would have Bible reading, Bible study, and prayer time. There was a day, there was a time, there was an event when the Bible was used in our schools as a textbook. There was a day, there was a time in history past when our government, the federal government, paid for the printing and the publication of Bibles so that our schools could have Bibles to read as the readers in our public school system. There was a time when prayer and Bible was allowed in the classrooms in America. There was a time that the teacher would read from the Bible, the students would memorize Bible verses, and stand the next morning and repeat those memorized Bible verses, and then there was prayer time. And then, yes, there was the pledge to the U.S. flag. But, ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing today our government and the officials from both parties contend that there's a separation of church and state, and these things are no longer allowed. We're going to talk about that today. But first, let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. As we face the issues, we look at things that are taking place locally, statewide, nationally, internationally, globally. We look at them through the prism of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. The basic question is, what does the Bible say? And I look at it on the basis, ladies and gentlemen, I call the Bible the truth book, the truth book. Jesus in John 8:31-32, speaking to his disciples, said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. And then further in John 17:17, there's a declaratory statement made, thy word is truth. And then in Psalms 117:2, the scripture says the truth of the Lord endures forever. And may I say to you, we need to stick to the truth book, the word of God. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we find that to be absolutely true today. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made a very profound statement. He said, America's decline is linked to the death of truth. And in part, Former Senator, U.S. Senator Jim DeMint said, "What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real." Yet, Jim DeMint says, that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in many of our Christian churches. And I believe it's because one of the elements that we find today, ladies and gentlemen, in the millennial age group, the 18 to 35-year-old age group, according to the latest survey, the survey says 55% of the millennials say that each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, truth is truth. There's not a variant. There's not a variation of truth. Truth is truth. It is the fidelity to the original, if you will. And the only place we're going to find truth is in the Word of God. It goes back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And I commend that to us each and every day, that we follow that pattern. And ladies and gentlemen, if I can say this, not meant to be macabre or some way negative, but I believe we're living more and more in the day and time when it's going to be necessary for us to stand and defend the truth even to death, even if it means prosecution and persecution, that we stand for truth. I'm a little wary with these mealy-mouthed individuals that say I'm saved, but they're afraid to stand on the truth. I'm a little concerned about the pastors in so many of our pulpits today that do not have a spiritual spine that will stand and speak the truth in love. We need to be willing, ladies and gentlemen, to speak the truth and defend the truth, regardless of what the world says, regardless of what the political elements in Washington on both sides of the aisles may say. It was a statement made about 1 year ago. One of the legislators was reading from the Bible on the floor of the House, talking about House Bill 5 that would have opened the bathrooms, the locker rooms, shower rooms to the sodomites, the LGBTQ community across the nation. And a hue and cry from one of the legislators says, the Bible has no place in the halls of Congress. Ladies and gentlemen, that's where we've declined to today. That's the reason we're in the trouble today. The entire warp and woof, that is the fabric of society, is in decay as a result of leaving the Word of God and God's Word out of societal life, even in the realm of politics. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time has the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time has the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The Tools for Time staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic benchmark, 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag, flowing 24/7. Find the flag and the flagpole at the base of that flagpole. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing all of the staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God as God's Word ordained it to be so. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to introduce our special guest in just a moment. We've got a special guest that we're going to be talking with about the very things that I've just mentioned briefly in my pro monologue. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 831-0917. If you're tuned in by way of internet, if you're out of the area code, it's 904-831-0917. Love to hear from you. Love to hear your dialogue and discussion on the issue today. Ladies and gentlemen, over the past years, the past few generations, American pulpits have taught and preached that Christians ought not to be involved in anything political, ought not to be involved in the political process, not even to join in any of the dialogue and debate over such matters. In fact, I know pastors in our city, perhaps you're listening today, if you're one, that you simply say we need to preach Jesus and not get involved in the political arena. Ladies and gentlemen, David didn't know anything about that. Paul didn't know anything about that. Daniel didn't know anything about that. And I can go throughout Scripture from Genesis through the Revelation text, and our church fathers, our religious leaders, our founding documents, if you will, the Word of God, knew nothing about a separation of church and state. I'm looking at an article that says, A Christian's Relationship with a Godless Government. It's by Dr. James Dobson, former Focus on the Family founder and leader. Dr. Dobson says, What should I submit to government that I believe is moving in the wrong direction? I love my country and want to cooperate with the political system, but I'm struggling to understand what the Bible says on the subject. How in the world can the Apostle Paul tell Christians to submit to authorities, Romans 13, 1 through 7, when he would know in fact that human governments are corrupt and unjust? What should a believer do when he feels that his own government is ungodly? The Bible does, in fact, command Christians submit to the governing authorities, Romans 13, 1, and to pray for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life and all godliness and reverence, 1 Timothy 2, 2. The point is clear, James Dobson says, as long as we can do so without denying Christ or compromising our faith, we must always strive to cooperate with the ruling powers. Nevertheless, this is the point, nevertheless, Christians are responsible to uphold biblical righteousness in a hostile culture while expressing respect for our leadership. Dr. Dobson goes further in talking about, in other words, no one can become a king or emperor or governor, president or an assemblyman or a senator apart from God's will in doing so. But this doesn't mean that the possession of political power amounts to a stamp of approval from God. In short, what Dobson says in a 3-page article, he's saying that we have a corrupt government today, and most of the time, the governmental authorities are passing legislation, rules, and regulations that do not comply with the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just set the stage before we introduce our special guest today. Here's what's happening in America, and some of the statistical data is absolutely frightening when you understand what is taking place. The latest report from George Barner, the Barner Report, as it is called, headline says, Shocking poll. Bible beliefs much closer to extinction in America. A new study from the Christian pollster, George Barner, comparing America's religious beliefs and practices before and after COVID. And he goes on to talk about the up and down numbers. And the bottom line, he finds, and I quote, a mere 4% of overall Americans polled who possess a biblical worldview. It's down by 6%. The inclinations of biblical worldview among them fell from 19% in 2020 to only 13% in 2023. And further, the Barner report says that only 11% of preaching pastors hold a biblical worldview in America. Only 4% of executive pastors hold a biblical worldview in America today. And listen, only 13% of the youth pastors hold a biblical worldview in our nation today. Perhaps this is the reason we're finding the decline of morals and ethics and values in our great nation. It's because it is no longer considered absolute from the pulpits in our nation today. Biblically, ladies and gentlemen, let's face it, without God and without the Word of God, we live in a lawless society. Headline I'm looking at says, America needs to return to the Ten Commandments. Goes on to say, half the nation is officially marginalized and demonized. Violent criminals are pampered while the innocent are arrested and incarcerated. We wave the rainbow flag, not in celebration of our Creator, but as a grotesque insult to Him. We maim and mutilate our children in obsessions to false gods. We sacrifice babies, the unborn, and even the born to convenience. We demonize and cancel good, decent American citizens, even indict the last president of the United States for no legitimate reason, but only because some people fear he will win an election, will not win an election. The problem is accurate, acute, not just because there's so many atheists and agnostics and non-believers and cult members and ideologues that are crazies in today's America, not to mention all the psychopath elites. The deeper problem America has is that those who call themselves Christians, those who call themselves believers, but who act no differently than the worldliest individuals on the planet. You can call these people false converts, backsliders, pretenders, or undiscipled nominal believers, but whatever they call are called, it is common in the day, recognized in society, that they are not living in obedience to God. They are not trying to follow the Mosaic, most basic moral laws as Jesus and biblical prophets instructed us to do. So, ladies and gentlemen, the question is, as one writer said, what'll it be, America? God's laws or lawlessness in our nation? That sets the stage for where we're going in our conversation, dialogue, and discussion today. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you again, the telephone number is 904-831-0917. 831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, we're excited today to have a special guest with us, James Cruden. James is the faith leader for the organization Citizens Defending Freedom for Duval County. James, thank you so much for taking time out of your, I know, busy schedule to be with us. It's a delight to have you. We've not met before. I've heard some good things about you. I've read some good things about you before you got here. So your reputation precedes you. Thank you for joining
us. Praise God.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. It really is a privilege to be here. I love your radio station and your bravery to speak the truth.
I don't know any different. I haven't learned any different. So, thank you so much, James. James, you're involved in an organization that I want to introduce to our listeners. Some have heard it. We have interviewed the leader in the Duval County area, Kathleen Murray. We've interviewed her on the broadcast before. But you're the faith leader for the division for Duval County. It is the County Citizens Defending Freedom. Tell us something about the organization briefly, if you would, that it sets the stage for our listeners to know where we're going and what we're doing.
They actually have only been around a couple of years. They started in Polk County, Florida, and they've taken off and really caught on. They actually just updated the name to Citizens Defending Freedom, so they dropped the county citizens and just Citizens Defending Freedom. So if our listeners just type in citizensdefendingfreedom.com, it'll go directly to that. And it's such a new thing. They don't even have new business cards for us yet, but it's a great idea. They said it was a little confusing potentially, so they dropped County Citizens Defending Freedom.
I'm thankful for that. I've done a lot of research on it, and I'm thankful for what you're doing. I've read some of the documents about us, our mission and who we are and what we believe, and I'm thankful for the organization, James, but thank you for taking time to be with us. First, I want you to tell us, our listeners, something about the organization. What is the organization, Citizens Defending Freedom? When did it start? Why did it start? And who started it?
Yep.
That's a lot of questions.
That's great. No, it started a little over 2 years ago in Polk County. The main catalyst was a gentleman named Steve Maxwell, who was a very successful, a God-fearing, God-loving business person who helped a lot of people attain a lot of worldly success. But his overall concern was, let's get God back in the workplace, in our daily lives, and just see what's going on. And he thought that the major problem was that God had been forgotten, that God was removed from government, that people had misconstrued the founding fathers' intentions of what this nation was founded on. And so he came up with four principles to make it work. Again, being a very successful business person, he said, well, how can we shore this up? What can we do to create something? So they have a faith department. Let's get people praying again. Mm-hmm. Carry your Bible. Read it every chance you get. Put your phone down and pick up your Bible. Election integrity, to make sure that as the elections go on and go forward and so forth, they're doing well. an education arm that goes out and tries to hold our teachers and educators accountable and get God back in the classroom, mm-hmm. and to call out things that we know are wrong. Mm-hmm. These, you know, multiple genders and initials and all these craziness. Some of the things that have been introduced, we know now that I said the best thing to most of my friends know that since the plague hit was it's done a really good job of showing a clear line of demarcation between, yes. good and evil. It's exposed evil, mm-hmm. and people have to make a choice. Even things that the New Age has come up with, this DEI. I said to my wife the other day, I said, it's not diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's divisive, it's exclusionary, and it's insidious like a cancer. Mm-hmm. And you know it came from the devil. Absolutely. It's not trying to raise us up. It's not trying to unify us. It's just trying to confuse people more. So again, getting back to the founding principle, God, it's everything is from God anyway.
Yes,
it's all God's.
Absolutely.
He's given us the owner's manual. We have the Bible. We love our country. Those of us that want to hang on to it and further it, what's going to give us power? Education to learn about it. What did our founding fathers originally intend for us? And our very first episode in this 8-week short class that we're part of, which is provided by the Patriot Academy, which Citizens Defending Freedom has partnered up with other great people. Kirk Cameron is the narrator. He does a phenomenal job. He's a very famous actor who turned his back on Hollywood and said, I'm going to pursue Jesus 100%, never deny my faith, and encourage people and stoke the flame and the spirit, the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
In our nation,
Amen.
And bring it back to light.
Amen.
It's there and we know it. We can't snuff it out.
That's right. I'm thankful for that. James, a question comes to mind that perhaps our listeners would like to hear. It's always a fascinating journey for me is to ask the question, how did you get involved and why are you involved? What is it that motivates you to do what you're doing? Tell us a little about yourself and how you became involved and what you see as the goal that you believe God's given you in this.
Amen. Thank you. That's a great question. And I tell you that it's a wonderful question and clarity. And the primary goal is conscience.
Mm-hmm.
Conscience. God gives, I believe, everybody a conscience, almost mm-hmm. like an electronic, a circuit breaker.
Mm-hmm.
People know inherently what's right and wrong. They do. There's evil afoot and so forth, and there are evil people out there with bad intentions. We know, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls like a hungry lion looking for someone to devour.
Right.
It is ugly, and we've got to be equipped with the full armor of God, and we've got to educate our friends, our family, everyone around us that we are under attack. But as you and I both know, it's not a worldly, you know, beat you up attack. It's a spiritual attack.
Absolutely.
This is flat out the devil at work. And for greed and envy and power and money and so forth, the old tricks, there's no change to it. There's a different spin on it, but it's the same old tricks.
Same modus operandi.
Yes, it is.
Right.
And when he's exposed, he flees or tries harder and harder to attack. Mm-hmm. But you know you're over the target when you're under attack.
Right.
I think the biggest thing about this is what motivated me was a lack of sleep, but not a lack of sleep because I was restless and confused and angry and so forth. A lack of sleep because I had this gnawing feeling that something was missing. Mm-hmm. And immediately it was, well, it's God. Well, if it's God, how can we get the broadest audience and the most impact for the kingdom? Try to create that sense of urgency in other people's minds and hearts to say, wait a minute now, we don't know the time. We don't know the time.
Right.
But how about this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in. Let's prepare as though it was in a few minutes.
Right.
And the people that we love, our family, our friends, our work family, anybody and everybody at the grocery store, you see people texting their phone and not even paying attention to the checkout guy or gal doing it. Sometimes some of the shopkeepers say, have a blessed day and so forth. There's a spark of light out there. And the minute that you share God's love with people, I challenge my friends and family and everybody I meet, try it. Colossians 3:23 enforces whatever you do, work as though you're working for the Lord, because your ultimate inheritance is in heaven. So truly it is the Lord our God we serve. So let's live like that.
Amen.
Remember whose we are. Mm-hmm. Whose are we? Mm-hmm. Jesus died for us. God sent his only son to die for us.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks we're worth it.
That's
let's
right.
live up to that little by little how we can.
Absolutely. He commands us, James also, and we talked about this earlier. He commands us to be salt and light.
Amen.
And as Christians, we need to be a preservative in society, a light in a darkened world. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with James Cruden. We're thankful that he has taken time out of his schedule to be with us today. He is the faith leader for an organization that I believe we need to recognize and embrace, Citizens Defending Freedom. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 831-0917. Perhaps you'd like to ask James a question about the organization we're going to talk about later in this broadcast today, how you can become involved, what you can do, how you can become involved as a church, as a pastor, as Christians, to be educated on what we believe is necessary to go from our founding documents and our founding fathers to what needs to be done in society today to preserve American heritage and to preserve our freedoms that we have in our nation today. We're talking with James Cruden. James, we're delighted again that you're here. Would you provide our listeners with something about the context of our founders' reliance on the Bible?
Yes. Well, I want to go back and say, too, that spark and that start was a gentleman named Brian Morrell that started Liberty Jet. And yes. I think I briefly mentioned that. It was a man that just stepped out and said, there's got to be something done. And he teaches a class in constitutional law and so forth and Declaration of Independence. And that's really what started it. And then led into Citizens Defending Freedom and where I am now. And this all happened in a compressed time schedule. Mm-hmm. But he was a man that loved the Lord and was kind of fond of our country, retired as a full commander in the Navy, and did the Liberty Chat. Now,
I believe what you're doing, what we're trying to say and what our listeners to grasp and to understand is Citizens Defending Freedom is trying to fill the void where we have what we have lost in America with the concept of why we're here and what God has done in giving us America. Yep. James, I find it frightening, disappointing, and disconcerting that even in law schools, perhaps you're aware of this, they are not being taught the Constitution in our law schools.
Yep.
In our grade schools, elementary and up, we're not being taught the truth about the founding of America. In fact, I'm thankful that very recently in some of the legislative process in the state of Florida, just this legislative session, they passed legislation that requires schools to go back teaching our founding documents and the Constitution, et cetera. And I watched on one of the national socialist Marxist channels on television where they were making fun of and chiding Governor DeSantis because saying that he is taking away the freedom of education in the state of Florida. Contrarywise, he's trying to enhance what's being taught so that we graduate out of our schools in the state of Florida, educated individuals that knows why we're here, what the Constitution is about, yes. What America is about. James, we've got about a minute and a half left on this segment of the broadcast. Would you provide with us something about our founders and their reliance on the Bible?
This is huge. Dr. Youngblood, according to a University of Houston study, roughly 15,000 writings of the Founding Fathers, the most often quoted four sources used by the Founding Fathers were Locke 2.9%, Blackstone 7.9%, Montesquieu 8.3%, the Bible 34%.
Amen.
Flat out, you know, just right there. The three institution of government, of scripture, of family government, church, and biblical citizens as the outcome of that.
And yet we have in America today where there's a mindset that the Bible ought not to be taught in school, that there ought not to be any Bible reading in school, even in your public forums like city council meetings and aldermen's meetings and the Florida legislators, et cetera, most of them are petrified to have prayer, especially if you pray in Jesus' name. Somehow there's a mindset that we can segment, bifurcate our lives and take God out of it and still expect God to bless America. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with James Cruden. James is the faith leader for an organization called Citizens Defending Freedom. And I want us to continue listening to him and asking questions. And let me remind you before our break that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 831-0917. We're going to take about a one-minute top-of-the-hour news break, and we'll come back and continue our dialogue and discussion. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. It will not become law, not with the Democrat-controlled Senate and not with President Biden in the White House, but House Republicans plan a vote today on their sweeping border security bill anyway. The FBI declines to comply with a congressional subpoena. It could shed light on allegations of bribe-taking by Joe Biden when he was vice president. The White House says it's an absurd attack on the president. Wire fraud, money laundering, and lying to Congress, same charges that have brought a not guilty plea from New York Congressman George Santos. The latest readout on inflation at the wholesale level. It ran 2.3% over the past 12 months. That's according to the newly released producer price index. And Israeli airstrikes in the Gaza Strip killing a fourth terrorist commander. That raises the Palestinian death toll from the latest round of fighting to 25. More details at srnnews.com.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on two stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you've joined us today. We're asking the question, should Christians be involved in government? Let me just basically broaden that question. Should churches talk about governmental affairs? Should churches and pastors, Christians in general, should we talk about the political process? Should we say anything about elections when they're coming up? Not too long ago, I had a dear lady that called and said, what I do? I'm in a church where the pastor won't even acknowledge there's an election taking place. He will not answer a question about any of the candidates. He refuses to say anything about the political process. What should I do? My very simple answer was get out of the church. Find a church where a pastor has a spine to talk about the political issues, because God's word should not bifurcate our spiritual life, our Christian life, and the political issues. We need to recognize that God formed the home, the family, and government. And ladies and gentlemen, anything that confronts, anything that conflicts with our home, the family, the church, we need to take a stand on it, and we need to understand God's word covers it. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. We're talking with James Cruden. James is the faith leader for Citizens Defending Freedom. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning. Hope you're well.
Yes, sir. I hope you also. But I'm going to tell you, it is crazy now. I grew up in Jim Crow. I'm 70 years old. But the way, what's her name? The Clinton daughters.
Chelsea, they got to get a shot.
But now everything is coming out about Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. I call them a rogue through media.
Well, it's the Biden family cabal. You've heard me perhaps say that on the broadcast before. It's the Biden family cabal. They've been bought and paid for by the Chinese Communist Party, by Vladimir Putin, and the very things they were trying to accuse Donald Trump of, they're guilty themselves. And as a result of that, it's just not coming out. But, Kenneth, I don't say this in a negative sense, but I don't foresee any prosecutorial progress to be made about the Biden family cabal. I believe that all of these things will be brought out. But the DOJ with Merrick Garland is going to do zip, zero, nada, nothing. The Biden family cabal will not be prosecuted, will not come to justice, because we have a dual justice system in the society in which we're living today. That's part of what we're talking about on the broadcast today, is because from the standpoint of churches and Christians, we have left the Christian foundation and the fundamentals of what God's word says in relationship to our political system.
One question. I'm gonna get off the phone.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. This is, it's not really him. This is puppet masters that's doing this.
Yes, absolutely. Joe Biden is simply the puppet that's filling the Oval Office. Joe Biden doesn't know what state he's in or what day it is most of the time. I don't say that in a laughable fashion. He cannot help it. He's cognitively unable to be president, and the presidential campaign was a fraudulent campaign, placed him in the office. But it is the George Soros background. It's the Barack Hussein Obama that's carrying out his third term with Biden being the puppet. So we have a lot to recognize that is taking place, and that's the reason it gets back to the fundamentals of what we are here for, what God would have us to do as salt and light, and for churches, for Christians, for pastors to recognize what is taking place with the destruction of our foundation. And Psalms 11:3 says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We need to recognize the need to put God back in the scenario and in the equation of what America is doing. Kenneth, thank you so much for your call. And we invite each one each day to keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're interviewing James Cruden. James is the faith leader for the Citizens Defending Freedom. James, we were talking about just before the top of the hour news, something about the founder's reliance on the Bible. I've got another question. What do you say when people say, well, don't you realize there's a separation of church and state? You've heard that. I've heard that. So, I mean, how do you respond to that?
Well, now, since I took this class, and I'm privileged enough to be administering it or whatever, facilitating it, I've got the right answer. The phrase separation of church and state was not introduced into the American vernacular until a little over a decade after the First Amendment was adopted. The phrase, which is exactly what it is, a phrase, is not a statute. It is not a law. It is not an amendment to the Constitution. It is simply a phrase lifted from a letter, of all things, by one of our founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson, who was writing to the Danbury Baptist Association January 1st, 1802, because that particular organization was concerned that there would be a one national church. And his response in the letter that raised the concerns about religious liberty, that they would never be infringed upon by the American government. Jefferson responded that this would not occur because the Constitution builds a wall of separation between church and state. So much has been erroneously inferred from that one statement. So it's not in the Constitution. It's not in the Bill of Rights. It's not in the Declaration of Independence. Nowhere is that wording used other than a letter he wrote to a church to say, don't worry, the government's not going to come tell you how you can and can't worship your Lord.
And yet, James, I believe our listeners need to understand, or perhaps you don't know from our listener's standpoint, we've had so many laws, rules, and regulations that have been promulgated in the past 100 years, past 50 years, 60 years in particular, that go on the premise, even the Supreme Court, going on the premise that there is a wall of separation, church and state. And on that premise, we have many people today that stands in pulpits, and they're afraid to stand and speak on a political issue. Perhaps you're aware of the fact that in 1954, with the Lyndon Baines Johnson as a senator, had a rider placed on a transportation bill. And that rider gave the IRS the authority to prosecute a Christian, a church, or a pastor if they spoke about political issues from the pulpit. That was in 1954. That is still on the books. Fortunately, May of 2017, the then president, Donald J. Trump, by executive order, nullified the enforcement of the IRS 501c3 regulation that was promulgated as a result of Lyndon Baines Johnson. And Lyndon Baines Johnson hated the Catholic Church. He hated religion, and as a result of that, wanted to squelch the voice of any religious person from the pulpit. So that's how it came about in the 501c3 regulation that now, even today, preachers think that that's still in effect. Preachers think that they still have to be muzzled, but there's never been, since that went into effect in 1954, there's never been a church, there's never been a pastor prosecuted on that regulation and that rule, because they know that if they do, that they'll lose in the Supreme Court because of the so-called separation of church and state does not exist constitutionally. And so our listeners need to understand, we as Christians need to recognize that there's not one thing and the rules, the regulations that promulgated by any law in America that will cause a pastor, a preacher, a Christian to be silent in the pulpit or in our churches today. And James, I believe that's one of the major needs today is for pastors to be willing to stand and speak the truth in love, for pastors to recognize election seasons, for pastors to talk about the political contest that is before us and make the determination of what God would have us to do as Christians. So the question, James, I believe that is promulgated from that overview, should Christians be involved in the political process? And if yes, why? If no, why?
100% why, and I'll race to the end of the Bible, and that Revelations 21:8, and those first words that get me. 21:8 says, "But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death, but cowardly and faithless." So if I have a collar on, or I have a position of power over a flock, my church, the ecclesia, my group, and I'm charged with that, and to share God's love, his hope, his mercy, and encourage them, but not spare them from the truth, and stand up to what a government tries to tell me. People mistake, I think, meekness for weakness.
Absolutely.
Meekness is not weakness.
Not weak, absolutely.
One of the best analogies I heard was a powerful horse with a bit in its mouth that's turned one way or the other. It's great strength under control.
That's right.
Meekness. And a good Christian can be that.
Yes.
You think about how fast and how rapidly evil has risen in certain points. They're great orators. They know all the right words at all the right times. Their voice inflection. That's the devil at work. There is good in that too. I think I jokingly said, I can't remember, it was you this morning, but somebody, this guy, RFK, he interests me. I can't vote for a Democrat in clear conscience, but what interests me is he's got a vocal cord issue. Moses would stutter.
Right.
Moses stuttered. He's also either crazy or very brave, because he's saying that the CIA was involved in his family member's death.
And I believe he's 100% right.
And I think he is too.
Yeah.
But that he would have the whatever it is, the chutzpah, the bravery to say that, it got my attention for a minute. There is good out there. Our churches are full of good. I'm plugged into a big group of believers. My living room has been filled now for 7 weeks in a row with anywhere from 18 to 22 people every Wednesday night for this biblical citizenship class. And I thank God for a wife that's so organized and got me on track with it. But it has invigorated our small group. And they are going, never met most of these people on a one-on-one basis or been in a church small group. So it's invigorated them to want to go out and do it too, which is what we live for.
Yes, yes. James, let's take a moment. I believe we have Lily on the line. Lily, go with your questions or comments, please.
Yes, thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood. I'm amazed at what's going on with America. We are dealing with inflation, open borders, and all of the problems that has come up. And I am just, amazed that America has come to this, because over the years, America has spent tried to protect other nations from losing their freedom, and America has been paying a see has witnessed nations after nation collapse under tyranny. And today, to me, America is being led as a lamb to the slaughter, into tyranny, into losing our freedom. It's unbelievable to know that, to see what is going on. Smart Alex has taken over this and manipulated our language, words, everything, and has been lying to us and America. Right now, I thank God for the few who realize that we are being fooled, we are being deceived, and what is happening to America is not because of being naive or stupid. These people know exactly where they're going. They are committed to the destruction of America, to bringing it down, and that's exactly what they're working on. And America should know that one of the first things that happen to a nation when they're losing their freedom is that you lose the ability to take these tyrannical people out of power. You lose the ability to change your government. That's one of the first things. And it is happening to us. In 2020, I saw it plainly that we have actually lost the ability to change our government. And that's
Linda,
where we are. And so much Lily, of Americans don't even realize that.
Hey, this is Jim Crondon from CDA, and I've been given permission to answer that question. Don't give up hope, Lily. The reason that you and I are on the radio right now is because that we have hope and we have faith. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So do not give up hope. Keep be the light, be the salt, and do what you're doing. Think of it from this point of view. A couple years ago, I would never have been sitting in this seat. I would have never given thought to this. I got to a point in my life where I could not sleep. My conscience said, the Lord has got you in a position. You've got to do something, and I'm going to lay out for you what you need to do and how you need to do it and the people you need to do it with. I've had great pastors say, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Well, in Acts it says he was a good man or woman, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Well, that's anybody and everybody that says, Lord, help me to do what is right in your holy name. You sent your son to die for me. Help me to live up to that. That I can never be worthy of it, but you said I was. So give me that, because you're sharing a good word and good questions. And the fact that you're doing this, we are exposing evil. These alphabet letter agencies and so forth, they know. And there are people on the inside that are starting to come forth, and I will not give up hope. I fought for my country. I'm very fond of this country. Mm-hmm. I love the Lord, and we can make a difference, Lily. Don't give up hope.
Amen. Lily, thank you so much for your call, and keep on hanging in there. You're spot on with your analysis of what's happening in America.
We got
and
this,
And it's salt and light that we need to know that God is still on the throne, God is still in control, and we need to simply be obedient to his word. Thank you so much for your call. God bless you today.
Thank you very much.
God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with James Cruden. James is the faith leader for Citizens Defending Freedom. James, let me simply make a transition.
Yep.
You have a 7 or 8 week course that through your organization that you have the privilege of mentoring and leading, directing. Tell us something about that 7 week course. What is the basic overview of the course? What's the intent of the course, and what is the goal that's sought after?
Great question. We open with prayer. When everybody gets there, initially, that's absolutely what we do, is we open in prayer, we say the Pledge of Allegiance, and we recite the preamble of the Constitution.
Amen.
And that was my wife's idea. It's a great idea. I think we joked a minute about the attendees to the class. We have grandmas and grandchildren. We have middle-aged people. We have older folks. It's just a great variety of people. One of the young ladies that come, an early teenager, could recite the preamble of the Constitution before they got here. Again, to address Lily's question, prior to the plague hitting, I had never been to a city council meeting or a school board meeting. My wife and I, and a group that she's involved with heavily, and she's obviously involved in Citizens Defending Freedom, but Moms for Liberty. Don't mess with the mama bear's children.
Mm-hmm.
as the schools started to do things, as the city government started to do things, again, the plague gave people reason for pause and to look at things and to decide, am I going to watch and wonder, or am I going to walk out my faith? And by walk it out, do something about Amen. It. And people have stepped forward to do that.
What are some of the themes? What are some of the themes with you? 7 weeks, how would you say the topics that you've got?
It's absolutely incredible. Yes. Each lesson, each of the 8-week lessons, and it's a video. Basically, all we do is press start. And again, Kirk Cameron is a phenomenal actor, but just a wonderful lover of the Lord. So each one opens with a premise. The first one, the foundation, talked about the Founding Fathers Monument, which everybody in the room, when it was over, was dumbfounded. We'd never heard of the Founding Fathers Monument. It's an 81-foot-tall granite monument, many, many years old. And the intent of the monument was a woman in the middle of it, 81-foot-tall granite monument, pointing to the one true Lord, God, with a Bible in her hand. At the basis of her feet were four different figures. One of them was a warrior, as if equipped with the full armor of God, facing England, as if stay away from what we've got here. We founded our country on biblical principles, stay away. The second one is education, as train up a child in the way they should go. And it's a woman with a child reading the Bible to the child. The next one is law and justice. And the next one is liberty. And
that's all in the first week.
So morality, that's the first week. The second week is tending the garden. And it starts with Genesis and how it's compared to a seed plot. And the Bible, every single major teaching goes back to the book of Genesis. It says, what is the first form of government? Self-government. And then what are the three institutions of government? Government is the family, the church, and then it makes biblical citizens. So family, government, church make biblical citizens. The third one is a lesson on understanding the times, because we have to make sure that how can we deal with what we've got coming at us now? There's a lot of different buckets that we're looking at. What are these sources of information, and can you rely upon them? Most of them have now been exposed as telling falsehoods multiple times over and over again.
What we had talked about it earlier. What is the last week in that? What is the subject? I believe we talked about it, salt and light.
Yes, the very last one, week
Why
eight.
Why is that necessary?
Is salt and light. It's critical. That's everything is going to all come back to that. If the salt loses its saltiness, it's good for nothing.
So that's the challenge for Christians to become involved.
Amen. We need to start applying. It starts out saying apply incrementalism as we work to bring America back to her roots, voting and getting involved. As Lily said, I've never worked the polls. Now I've worked everyone since. My wife and I are both poll inspectors and watchers and so forth. Get involved. If you think something crooked is up, get involved.
That's being the salt and light that God has charged with the responsibility.
Yes.
James, let me ask you two or three other questions that I think is pertinent for our listeners to understand. By the way, for our listeners, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 831-0917. Perhaps you'd like to ask questions for James in relationship to his organization, Citizens Defending Freedom. One of the questions I want to ask, James, you're teaching this now in your home, but let me make a transition with that. Have you considered, or perhaps you're already doing this, having these lessons taught in a local New Testament church?
Amen.
Secondly, many organizations, and I'm going to say this not being critical, but from the analysis of a pastor, many organizations have meetings on Wednesdays or on Sundays, which take people out of the church. I believe there's a need to go to the church and become involved, locking arms with the church to teach courses like this through the local New Testament church and not separate from or bifurcating the church. What are your thoughts on that? Are you presently doing that? And what would be the potentiality of even now on this broadcast inviting listeners to contact you through their church, getting pastors to get off the seat of do nothing and contact you, for the pastors to grow a spiritual spine and contact you and have these lessons taught in a local New Testament church? Tell our listeners how they can reach you, what they can do, the questions that they need to ask, and if you're available to come into the church at the church's calendared time, could be on a Tuesday night or Wednesday night, Sunday, but something that's not taken away from the church, but is an addition to the church. Tell our listeners how they can reach you.
Yes, they absolutely can, and praise God, that would be a blessing. They can email me at jcrunden, C-R-U-N-D-E-N, at ccdfusa.com. Or they can call me at 904-237-3000. 1068. And that's our prayer, that we can get churches to open up and to allow us to do one of these, facilitate one of these classes. The excitement, the enthusiasm level of every single attendee thus far has been nothing short of miraculous. From young to old, everybody literally say they cannot wait for next week's episode. Mm-hmm. It is that well done. I have nothing to do with it other than introduce it and get out of the way and let the video. It's so engaging, and it goes through the questions. The course is free. There's a workbook that's available for purchase. This is the book that I've been sharing with you and showing you. It's very inexpensive. I think it's $20, but the actual course is free. And I think that if anybody was struggling to pay for that, there'd be other people that would go and help make that happen as well. But it's well worth it.
And again, tell our listeners how they can reach you.
They can reach me either on my phone number, 904-237-1068. That's 904-237-1068. Or they can go to the email, jcrunden@ccdfusa.com. And praise God, we would love to do that and be part of that.
James, would you take a moment and is it true that every right that set forth in our Declaration has been preached from the American pulpits prior to 1763?
Yes.
Yes. Tell us about that.
It is absolutely correct. Every single one of them. And that just begs the question, well, how does this tie in with religious liberty? All the great Ivy League schools that have now lost their luster, every single one of them that people can point to got its start on Judeo-Christian values. Right. If you look at over 30% of the Constitution was taken from the Bible, and you look at the great schools through our history, American history, was it perfect? No. But was it way better than what we have in the world now? If we look at the place that we're in and the confusion and the turmoil and the chaos, it's a soup sandwich. It's a mess. What do we have at peace? We have the Prince of Peace. We have the Lord of Lords. Mm-hmm. We have God who's standing there waiting and wanting to embrace us if we turn back to him. Right. Somebody asked me, and I think that was a question that somebody had said, what would you give our country if you had to grade it? And my answer would be an F, but not on failing. It would be on forgetting God, forgetting our Father in heaven. One of the founding fathers wrote a letter when there was an impasse at the Constitution, and he was considered one of the most secular of them, not the most religious. And he said, during his frustration, remember a time in this room when we prayed to the Father of Heavenly Lights. Actual history books have been rewritten to remove that implication of a deity, of Jesus, that implication of our Heavenly Father and the gift of His Son. They have been rewritten and redacted, if it was.
Well, all of our textbooks have expunged God,
and that's
removed God.
The normal person, again, I was just running along, doing my job, paying my bills, thinking my taxes were going to put good people in government. You can't be a good person and not be a godly person. I'm very sorry.
Right.
You've got to. Will you be perfect? No. But will you have a compass and the instruction manual, the Bible, to answer to and know that you're answering to a higher authority?
Amen. James, got one closing question that I'm we've got about a minute and a half left on the broadcast. What are your suggestions on how do we elect representatives who will abide by the intentions of our Constitution? And the final part of that, and we've got less than a minute, final part of that, if you would be kind enough to do so, do we have a fixed document called the Constitution, or is it a living document where it evolves as society evolves or devolves? Speak to that very quickly.
I think it's a fixed document, but is it living? If the law is followed and the amendments are voted on properly by the people that we put in office, then unfortunately it can be changed that way. But it is living and breathing, but we need to turn back to it and turn back with it under biblical principles.
But the basic concepts of what we call the Bill of Rights, our Constitution, and our Declaration, it's unchangeable.
It should be unchangeable.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking with James Crunden. James is the faith leader of an organization that I believe everyone needs to get acquainted with. That organization is one that I believe we need to recognize that's needed today, and that is on target with what they're doing. Citizens Defending Freedom. James, one more time, give our listeners how they can reach you.
They can email me at jcrunden, C-R-U-N-D-E-N, at cdfusa.com or call me at 904-237-1068. God bless you guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 90.